Hi, Jared. How are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me okay?
Perfectly.
Excellent. What do you want to do?
What's the weather like?
It's very overcast. We've had a long period of cloud cover, especially the last 3 days. It's been constant rain down in Gippsland in Victoria.
Oh, that's good for the garden.
It is. We accept it all. It's a pretty high rainfall area and we welcome it.
Definitely.
End up a good spring.
Yeah, definitely. Just before we start on talking about the writ, for the people that are listening, would you like to just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I can do that. You just ask questions, I'll just answer them.
Or you could just go ahead.
Okay.
Tell us your story. Yeah.
I was born in Gippsland. I'm a Victorian Gippslander. It gives me three qualifications, an Australian, a Victorian, and a Gippslander.
Mm.
So that's not a bad start. Born in Wonthaggi and on the almost the southernmost tip
of Australia.
Not far from Phillip Island When I say that, it's only half an hour from Phillip Island, where the races were this weekend, and the only furthest tip is Wilson's Promontory and Tasmania.
Mm. It sounds like a good part of the country to live.
It is a beautiful part of Australia. It's all magnificent in its own right, but I think your home is where your heart is, and that's in Gippsland. I went to school down there in the days when they had tech high schools combined.
Okay.
So I had a bit of an option. Wasn't very academic, so I went to the technical school in Wonthaggi, and then from there I pursued my young life in the cattle industry, the stock and station industry, meat and livestock, all that sort of stuff. That took me up till 23 when I was married. The love of my life.
What was her name?
Her name was Wilhelmina Smets. She was a Dutch immigrant, best thing that ever came out of Holland. well, in my eyes anyway. And she would, that'd be backed up by our 10 children.
10?
5 sons and 5 daughters, yeah.
Wow.
So Noah was to love her. She was just a beautiful person. I lost her 14 years ago, and which sent me on a journey of, I sort of knew things were wrong. I left school when I was 16, so my education was on the ground, not in the books or in the universities, but...
It's kind of proving to be the best way.
Well... I wouldn't change it for anything. I had a wonderful young life. I suppose when I left school, not suppose, I was pretty green behind the ears but adventurous and maybe even on the shy side. You may not think that, but that was the truth. But when I started working in the sale yards and with all different types of everyone, that soon gets knocked out of you.
Mm.
You just meet some fantastic people from all works, like I say, and all walks of life and all different attitudes, good guys, bad guys and girls. And I think developed a real love for country people and their humour, their situations, all that sort of stuff. But I've seen it decline over years, like... I was born in 1950, so that makes me 73. And it would be impossible to explain to even my kids that are up, you know, coming up to 50 now, what sort of a happy and free life that I had. Everything's all about closing it down and keeping you in surveillance these days. So, and it's only going to get worse if we don't stand up to it. That's what I believe, Anthony.
Mm. Well, I'm interested to know how you met Wilhelmina.
I actually was working in a sale yard complex in Dandenong in Victoria, and it was a little town called Narriwarra. Wilhelmina, she came out, I think in 56, I think the year was, on a ship called the Shabayok, and they went to, they were putting these immigrant camps, and then they were distributed out from there, and I think it was Pakapunyal that the camp was, and then her parents, who were her parents, the grandmother and grandfather of my children, were wartime. They had family in wartime. My mother-in-law, husband was killed in the war. He was ploughing the paddock and ran over a mine. My mother-in-law Maria, she had six little kids, and I think five, and due to have another one when that happened. And my father-in-law, he had about the same, and his wife Elizabeth, she died of I believe a brain tumor. And then they came together in Holland and decided just to pack up everything. They had good businesses. They were good business people, and decided to come out to Australia. So that amalgamated the two families. And out of that union came my wife, ended up being one of 14, but
wow,
only really had one full brother.
Okay.
The rest of them, the rest of her siblings were stepbrothers and sisters.
Yep.
But a more beautiful family you'd never meet.
Mm.
So when I was working in the, I went out and I started playing football at this little place called Narre Hallam. And made a lot of friends out there, one being Albie Smets, who is now my brother-in-law, and my wife Wilhelmina was Mincha, they called her Mincha. Was a younger sister, and at 23, I met her through my mate Albie, and yeah, eventually went out for a little while and got married and got started on the family of 10.
Was that your plan, to have a lot of kids?
No, I don't think I had many plans those days. Not really, but coming from a big family. I'm from a big family myself. Two brothers and two sisters, but my father, one of nine, I think, and my mother, something the same. So big families. I wasn't opposed to it, but my wife loved kids, and that's what she did. She had them.
Mm. Yeah.
So, no, it's been just a great journey, and I've had a great weekend with the whole family. Most of my 9 out of my 10 children live within about half an hour from where I live.
That's so, pretty unusual nowadays, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and James, who has got four twin brothers, meaning he's in the middle of a set of twin boys. Then there's James, and then there's another set of twin boys. So he claims that he's got four twin brothers.
Yeah.
But in reality, it's two sets of twins.
Yeah, okay.
But he's come over from Perth for a week, and we've just had a magnificent weekend with all the kids home. So that was fantastic.
Isn't it interesting how you met, whereas nowadays we're meeting online?
Well, a good point, isn't it?
Mm.
A good point.
You've seen a lot of changes in Australia in just your lifetime.
Well, when go back to 70s, Narre Warren, I think it had a butcher shop, a general store, a feed barn for horses and cattle and stuff like that. It might have had a real estate agent. The train line went through it. Hardly any build-up, but now there's traffic lights and
suburbia.
Suburbia, where I played football, is all. It's got buildings all over it and stuff like that. It's just like a big creeping plague the housing and the right over the countryside. Good country too, all filled up with concrete, and nearly they're that close together, they nearly share the same spouting.
Yeah, gutter to gutter.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's a huge change. If I tried to tell anyone what it was like, that you like trying to explain what China's like.
Mm.
Impossible.
Mm. Well, you mentioned before, yeah, and you've kind of taken it on board since your wife died, but you've mentioned that things aren't quite right.
Well, yeah, well, she did say to me, you know, she said, well, things are up to you now, which how you want to live your life, and you've got a job to do now, go and do it. It was a pretty emotional time. I've always had a real interest in justice, and it seems to be the hardest thing to get these days. You can get everything else, but justice is pretty hard to come by, and I don't think there'd be a family or someone that's not affected by that. So I'd always had an interest in justice and law, well before my wife passed away. But when that happened, I was really struck by grief, and anyway, I decided to stop being cut off the self-pity and feeling sorry for myself. She left me with a wonderful family and grandkids, and my job was to get on with it. So that's what happened. I started thinking, you know, because I did run into a few altercations with my wife because of the big family. We never had much money, but I would not vote in local council elections. I said no. She said, well, come on, you know, the polling booth was just across the road. One Saturday morning, I can remember, she said, come on, we'll get up early and we'll do this and we'll go down the beach and whatever with the kids. And I said, I don't mind the last part of your story, but I said, I'm not going then. She said, well, you got to. It's, you know, we can't afford the fine. And I said, no, it's just not going to happen. So anyway, she storms away and whatever, got the name ticked off. I refused to. So it started me, this was in about 1990, and it started me on a journey of getting fines and going into the court and asking for their authority. And their, you know, what do you mean by their authority? I mean, where's the writ for these elections? So I had a sort of a series of going into the courts. It wouldn't matter whether it was a federal election or a state election or a local council election. I had some pretty good battles. One particular time, this was just not that long ago, 2015. It was a $60 fine, but it escalated where I went into the courts, and I was sending that much paper out to the Victorian Government Solicitor's Office looking for information, that they estimated that the hassle that I caused them was $5,000, and that was the cost order I got against me. And I said, well, and I can name the magistrate, it was Lou Hill, and the solicitor from the Victorian Government Solicitor said that, you know, look, the amount of paperwork that's gone between our office and Mr. Donohue is, it's $5,000. That's what the cost order is. And he said to me, well, what do you think about that? This is in the court in Currumburra. And I said, what do I think about it? I said, I think you're running an extortion racket. And, oh, really? And I said, no. I said, I'll take the think away. I said, it's exorbitant. I said, how can a $60 fine go to $5,000? So I appealed that to the county court, and that was heard at Morwell in West Gippsland. But anyway, the outcome of it was that when I was asking for the writs, the local government election, and for the for them to produce the writs, they tried to uphold it, but eventually the whole thing was dismissed, no cost order or anything. So that started me on another journey that I've got to look deeper into this. Like, I've got to study the role of the Governor General issuing the writs for the federal elections, so the House of Representatives.
What is a writ?
The writ is the initiating instrument, in the words, in the, well, the Supreme Court of Victoria puts this way in their glossary. It is the initiating instrument for a civil procedure. Now, an election is a civil procedure. It's a public procedure. It's got to have a starting point, like no good getting a car if you don't get the keys with it. So that has to be done by, the law has been written down for many, many years, going back to, for instance, in the election of our senators, it's not the Governor General, but it's the Governor of each state that must issue the writ for the election of senators of that state. Mm-hmm. So when I went and had a look at the Governor General and then the governors, I find that these writs are not being issued properly, not according to the due process of law. So I've actually got a document in the Supreme Court right now in regard to this voice referendum. I find that it was not issued properly. It was actually issued by someone called Don Farrell. You're a South Australian, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, Don Farrell is from South Australia, and he's the Trade Minister in the Albanese government. He's presently doing trade deals with China. When I actually went and had a look at where he actually came from in Western Australia, in South Australia, sorry, to represent you guys over there, or all of us in the Senate in Canberra, when I had a look at the issuing of the writ, now your governor in South Australia is Frances Jennifer Adamson. Well, she, under Section 12 of the Constitution, is supposed to be issuing the writ for the election of senators in our last federal election in 2022. We find out that didn't happen. I think I sent you a copy there. And we did have a bit of a discussion before. And what was your thoughts on the issuing of the writ for the election of senators in South Australia?
Well, given that I haven't done the study you have, it kind of makes no sense. Why would they issue it incorrectly?
Well, I don't think I can 100% answer that, but I'll only give you my opinion on that, Anthony. Well, look, there's a greater thing behind this, because in are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good.
Are you?
They removed the since 1999, it went to the people in a referendum whether we retain the constitutional monarchical system of government or we go to a referendum. Well, I think the figures are 66.37% of the people everywhere voted to retain our constitutional and monarchical system of government. But there's,
as opposed to going to a republic, is that right?
Correct.
Yep, yep.
But all the machinery, everything was in place to go to a republic, because they were that confident in their arrogance that it was all set in place many, many years before to go to a republic. But the people said, no, no, we're not going there. Mm-hmm. Bit like this voice referendum.
Mm.
It's likened to in 1988, there was a referendum for local councils to be recognised as local government in the constitution. That was defeated too.
Mm.
But they ignored that. They ignored the people. Us plebs are just there at their convenience. I think we're treated as useful idiots.
So they went ahead and allowed local government to be a third tier of governing. Is that right?
Well, that's what they're claiming to be. And they're doing. Hello.
Oh, yeah, I can't explain this. I expect ASIO to knock on the door any minute.
What, my door or your door?
Probably yours.
Yeah, well, it's a bit different, isn't it?
This is the fifth time the phone has cut out.
Really? Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Um,
no, it's
If it does it but again, anyway, we'll, if it does we'll it again, just, you might have to get a different phone and ring me back.
Yeah, yeah.
So the referendum in the '80s, the people said no, and
so they took it to then they relied on the states to override the people, mm-hmm. override the referendum, which is the public record of the people,
mm.
the Commonwealth public record of the people. It's there for everyone to see.
Mm.
But then they brought the states in to override the Commonwealth referendum.
Yeah.
So you can work that out for yourself.
Is that everyone a bit like what's happening out. At the moment where the voice has been voted no, but the local states are bringing it in?
Well, that's what we've got to be careful of. It's already happened over there, I believe, in South Australia, before the referendum.
Mm.
So they're taking license that I don't believe they have any authority to do.
Mm.
They have usurped the power of the people by doing this.
Who do you reckon they is?
We're getting into pretty heavy ground, aren't we? Like it's I don't say in this order, but they're looking for a one world government. That's been going on for many, many years, like if not decades, century. But that's the ambition. That's the plan. That's the agenda.
So you're talking overseas entities.
Overseas entities controlling this country. Corporate Australia is, I would say, not a corporation, but a corporate state.
Yeah, we could see that with The Voice, where there's so many corporations got involved politically, and it was, how dare you, really?
Absolutely.
Hmm.
And they've got how we've been misled through our education system and through our churches, like saying absolutely nothing. I don't know how to spell acquiescence, but all these people that we're supposed to be taking directives from are acquiescing to whatever's put up to us, the churches, the state governments, they're all overriding the people. Like, a government is supposed to be executive, the parliament, and the judiciary, but they've left the most important one off the top. It should be the people are the government who elect the executive, the parliament, and the judiciary. But they flipped that around to put the people on the bottom, and by our silence, we have become irrelevant.
Mm.
So we've got to change that back.
Well, maybe it's people just haven't noticed the slow creep where that's changed so much.
I believe that's right. I believe that, but they better start to wake up because, not wake up. I think this referendum has woken a lot of people up. But I think they need to get out of bed and put their boots on.
Yeah.
And start doing something.
Mm.
Because it's not going to be pretty if we're just going to let these, as you say, foreign entities walk all over us, be it the UN, the World Health Organization, World Economic Forum, APRA, coming under the WHO. They're moving in. They've put agendas out there that enforced by stealth. Like, we've had a great example here where any peaceful protest in the street was, I actually know, people have been were shot with the rubber bullets.
Yeah, it was a disgrace.
Met them, spoken to them.
On the Shrine of Remembrance.
Correct, that's where it was.
Mm.
That's where it was. I mean, if I go back to what I was saying about my young life and what the freedom that we experienced then, you would just never contemplate any, like, there was always gangs and this and that, but not gangs of government thugs.
Mm.
There was thugs in the streets and whatever, but I just say that's a government out of control when they bring in. And I don't know whether they're policemen or foreign troops. I don't know. They're in these Jedi helmets and black gear shooting rubber bullets at the Victorian people.
Yeah, who were they?
Who were they? I can't answer that. Who were they?
I've spoken to quite a few. I've spoken to quite a few people that have grown up or lived in communist countries.
Yep.
And they've come here for the freedom, and they can now recognise our country for how it's being controlled. Whereas 100%. Australians can't recognise it because they don't know what it looks like.
No, I am a bit to blame here because it was how long for me? It was how good's this and how long's this going to go for? You know.
Mm.
But it's coming to a screaming halt, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot going on, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Just to go back to the writ and the one that you sent me, there's an issue with regards to the Governor-General signing it.
Yep.
And, you know, when you first look at it, you go, well, there's nothing wrong with this because he has signed it. But
correct.
The signature's in the wrong spot. And why does that make a big deal?
Well, when you read it and you've had a look at it, but you can see above it that it says witness. Now, the job of the Governor-General, or in the case of the states with issuing the writs for the senators, they must be the issuer. The signature is there, but it's in the capacity of a witness.
Mm.
The writs are designed to be issued in the monarch's name, but you can't issue a writ in the monarch's name if you're the witness. So it's fraudulent. I say it's fraudulent. So yeah, we're all running around in a delusion, thinking this, we're going to do something great for the Aboriginal people. And I'm talking to these Aboriginal elders in Kennedy in far north Queensland. I think about the highest population of Indigenous people. The vote against it was 82%.
Mm.
So they don't want it. I'm talking to the elders, the grandmother elders of the law, L-O-R-E, is how they spell their law, not L-A-W, and they're totally against it because they can see it's a land grab.
Mm.
They know, but it is only a certain section, which I've heard the expression corporate blacks or corporate black mafia, that get any airtime on this. There's in excess of $450 million spent on a one-sided campaign. That was a yes campaign.
Mm.
Now, as far as I'm concerned, our Prime Minister has just been a total failure and should step down immediately.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that at the moment, aren't they?
Well, I think a lot of people, like we were saying, you know, if you're awake to it, get out of bed, put your boots on and make it happen.
I would have thought that a Prime Minister should be impartial to a debate like this and say, look, I'm opening it up to the people rather than him personally pushing it.
Yeah, well, I think it's just a ego trip of look at, you know, what I'm going to do for prosperity. I'm going to give this to the Aboriginal people, whether they want it or not, and I'll go down in history. Well, as far as I'm concerned, he's already gone down in history, and it's not pretty.
Mm. And also keep in mind that only 33% of Australia actually voted for him.
Correct, correct. But it's still, his election goes back to the writ also.
Mm.
So we better have a look at his writ, which you will find is the same as the others, issued by the wrong person.
So, okay, we'll agree that the writ is not filled out correctly.
Yep.
But what does that actually mean to the election?
Well, it's maxims of law, and one of them is fraud vitiates everything. And, you know, like you can, I suppose, accommodate a mistake here and there, but when it's entrenched, it's... When it's entrenched, it's not a mistake. When it's been brought to their attention, it's not a mistake. When it keeps happening over and over again, I don't see that as a mistake.
Mm.
So it's an act of war against our constitution, they're my words, and a war against the people. So we're not talking about something that it's just a one-off. These are things to send our constitution to the bottom of the sea. Now, there's a lot of groups out there fighting for the constitution, stuff like, no, they're not fighting for the constitution. they're trying to explain the Constitution and the contents there of it. But what they're failing to understand, you won't have one if you don't stand up to what's going on there.
Mm.
How
does the writ practically affect someone when they're going to vote?
That's a good question.
Like, are they supposed to see one in the polling booth?
Well, it's supposed to be in circulated in at least two mainstream papers.
Okay.
Now, I've taken that issue to the Supreme Court in Victoria in before our last state election, and the whole thing was dismissed because they couldn't produce a proper.
They couldn't produce a proper writ.
They had writs, which is a they had documentation in the Gazette, in the Government Gazette, which was proclaiming the election itself. This was our last state election, but it was a proclamation of what was going to happen.
Well, I think that what you're saying is, if you don't believe me, go and do your own research.
Correct.
And figure it out for yourself.
Yep.
And
Get
your boots on and take an interest in this whole thing.
Exactly.
Hmm. Well, you talked a bit about, your wife's kind of gave you license to go ahead and do this.
Mm. An imprimatur, I look at it as, it's a duty. I'm hell-bent on it, And I better not say that. I'm dedicated to it. If that's what she said to me, it's the least I could do for what she's done for me and my family, our family.
Mm.
It's the least I can do is show that respect.
So she's your motivation.
Absolutely. Love of my life.
Mm.
Bar none, the greatest person I've ever met. So it was a grueling time because of what I just said to you and the type of life I've led and the knockery and sort of I was pretty out there. And when we come into these things, when grief hits you, I'm thinking, I've got to brace myself to this, but I'll be right, I'll get through it. But it hit me like a ton of bricks. It knocked me completely off track. I had no ambition to do anything for quite a while, and trying to kill a bit of pain in the end of a bottle or something like that, but nothing worked. And so I just had to say to myself, well, this is no good the way I'm going, and I give everything away just to honour her and expose this. I'm on a journey on her imprimatur and directive, So, and
it's a love story.
I'm a believer in God, and I couldn't find any solace anywhere, any peace, until I picked up the scripture. But the scripture actually, I was actually led to that by studying the law, because I was looking at all these law books, and I always believed if you're in a fight or a plane, you got to have the biggest gorilla or the biggest baseball bat. That's what you need. What's above this? What's above that? Where's the highest can I go? If you're going into the court, you want the best defense. So what's the best defense? And actually all the law that they put in front of you, that they want you to play in their sandpit with, is all subservient to the law of Almighty God. So you go to there and you can find, once you understand how to read a little bit of law, you understand that, if we're not breaking the law, we don't need the law.
Mm.
So if we live a life that doesn't include breaking law, we've got nothing to answer to. But you only find out what that type of life is by the instruction book that's been given to us by a gift from God. Now, that instruction book is the scripture. And it says in there, in Romans, that the law is spiritual, but we are carnal. So if we understand that the spiritual goes before the carnal or the physical or the actions we take, you get an appreciation of how to address some of these things. All these things that we're trying to do with our own knowledge, with our own academia, with our own certificate of at the bar or everything like that, it's all secondary to the spiritual going before us. If we're not in the right spiritual frame, these things are not going to work for us. So Australia's got a bit of cleaning up to do.
So what you're saying, the current agitations around the world is good versus evil.
Well, it's corrupt, isn't it? It's exactly that. It's never been any different.
Mm.
I think when you go back in history, if we don't understand that, it's bound to repeat itself. But it goes right back to David and Goliath. You know, that's what we are now. This is a Goliath thing that we're up against. But it's above our own. It's above our human knowledge and intellect. We need something greater to overcome what we're facing now and about to face getting worse into the future. And if we talk about this referendum, it is designed to divide, separate and conquer. So I say again, Albanese should be stepping down. He's just proved himself as an absolute failure.
Hmm.
Being a part of dividing all Australians.
Yeah, totally. Do you get any pushback from any of your kids?
On different subjects, yes. Well, when I say pushbacks, sometimes they come in the form of a pushback, but then when I think about what they've said, that it's their way of asking questions sometimes.
Mm.
Now, whether they like it or not, I just say it how I see it, but a lot of these things, my answers are many times, hey, it's not what I say. I'm only repeating what the scripture says. Have no fellowship with the evil works of darkness. Well, what does that mean? Well, you've got to work out what's good and what's bad, as we're saying, good and evil. So better have no fellowship with it. You know, I'm not going to partake in something that is a fraud, and that takes us straight back to the roots.
Mm.
So what I'm saying, I think cut off there, I was going to say that I took no part in the referendum, not on the emotional basis of for the Aboriginal people, you know, our Indigenous brothers and sisters, not on that basis at all. I'll probably get a thing, apparent failure to vote, which I'm very accustomed to. But my grounds were that because it was a fraudulent election, I'm not taking part in a fraud.
Hmm.
And the maxim of law is fraud vitiates everything. You won't change a bad law by pretending that they aren't legitimate. Well, these laws, are they pretending they're legitimate? Are we all going in there on an emotional thing? Like if we didn't believe in it, we'd say, well, we've got to vote no. We've got to vote no or the yes will win. But if we take a principled look at it, this is my attitude, mightn't suit everyone, but if it's a fraud, I'm not taking part in it. Mm. That's as simple as that with me.
Yep.
If it's a fraud, and if you know it's a fraud, which I have got no doubt in my mind it is, am I going to vote because I desire an outcome? It's not going to happen. I'll let the outcome look after itself, but if we don't look after the principle, we're selling our souls out.
Mm.
People don't know that, but I actually got a document signed by a officer in charge of the local polling booth here, and I had on it, this is a fraud, therefore I'm disqualified for voting. And I said, I'm not taking papers, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. I said, I don't want you to do or take any papers. All I want you to do, I've got a problem. This is a fraud. Oh, who said it's a fraud? I said, I'm not getting into discussion with you. Just if I can just get your signature on this paper. I will walk out of this place. And I did have papers there. I said, you can't produce a writ. I didn't even ask for one. I made the statement. Anyway, this woman was in such an anger, she grabbed the thing off it and signed it. And it had on it that I was actually disqualified for voting because this is a fraud. When I scan it, I'll send it to you.
Mm. Interesting.
So if it's a fraud for me, if it's a fraud for one, it's got to be a fraud for all.
Hmm.
So that's where that's at.
Do you think that your kids and grandkids are proud of you?
Well, they don't sort of know at it. They don't know where I'm at the moment, but they think I'm a shit stirrer.
Well, Australia was brought up on shit stirrers.
Yeah, well, they
that
think
was the
I'm
way.
Yeah, well, because of my Irish background, like DNA, I suppose, from all sides of my family, they just think I'm a stubborn Irish bastard, I think.
But imagine if there was a whole heap more of you.
It'd be unbearable.
Well, might be a good thing.
Well, thank you, but you get plenty of arguments there, but never mind. I'll take that as a compliment.
What I meant was there's...
No, that's good.
There is a lot of people around the world that are doing what you're doing. And
well, standing up, yeah.
Yeah, they're doing what you're doing, and they just don't know what to do. They don't know what to think. They don't know what to believe. Yeah. And so you are a shining light for people like that to go, what can I do?
Well, thank you. Well, look, thanks, you know, the imprimatur I got from my dear wife, she's more inspiring and more, I am listening to her more now than I ever did. So, and it's not a day I don't think about her and thank her. That goes for Almighty God as well. And because of the wonderful life I've lived, the wonderful wife I married, and the wonderful kids and grandkids I've got, on a bit of a selfish plane, I can say, you know, that my kids and my grandkids are my motivation going forward. But if I can get something that makes their life a bit easier, that can spread out to everyone's kids and grandkids. So I'd like to see a lot of the old greys get off their arse and just don't think that their life is over. They've got plenty to do.
Mm.
And I'm not really interested in the negatives of we seem to have gone back into such a negative frame of mind on everything, you know. We can't think for ourselves.
Well, the first thing to do is turn the television off.
That'd be it.
Mm.
That'd be it. And because of, and people say, oh, why don't you take this to the press? And I said they'd butcher it. They would turn on me and make a complete, it's happened to me.
Mm.
A court activist I've been called by a local paper. So I thought that was defaming. That's not what if I'm seeking the truth, that doesn't mean I'm an activist. In my mind, anyway, you can call it however you like, but in my mind, so I thought, well, I might put, I just say, you're looking for a defamation case, and I did. I took out a defamation case on, I didn't exercise it, but he's been, the head of this paper's been pretty nice to me after that. Like, I mean, it's all about standing up.
Yeah, a friend of mine got visited by the police because he was writing to his local member asking for answers.
Yeah.
Criminal
offence.
Yeah, you're not allowed to ask.
Yeah.
But going back to the grey-headed people, like they know what Australia was like. So they're the people that you want.
Well, you get them off their old asses, you know.
Mm. Have you got any mates around you that are similarly minded?
Yeah, there are. Mm. There are. And, you know, great. Great. And it's encouraging, and but too few.
Well, I think that...
It's all the numbers going.
I think that we can... have a look at that referendum and be confident that Australia is not happy with how things are.
Well, I think that's I agree with you. I agree with what you just said. I think it's the greatest opportunity Australia's ever had.
Mm.
For sure. You know, this is it's a fantastic thing that that the attacks came. The attack has come to us, and the people have responded
overwhelmingly,
and I believe the very right response, you know.
Mm.
And I wonder, would we get emotional leave or something if it did go to the yes?
Yeah, I mean, can you even believe that to be true? I mean, it's so outlandish.
Well, Can you believe that if I told you the writs were fraudulent, would you believe me? That's a bit outlandish, isn't it?
Well, I mean, the majority of people wouldn't even know what a writ is, let alone why you have it. So you've explained that well.
Well, that's, but, you know, that reflects on myself and the, well, let's say these days, the grandparents of the ones coming up, the grandparents and the great-grandparents, because we've let this all happen in our school system.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm to blame here.
Mm.
And people of my vintage.
Yeah.
Sleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
The motivation here also is with, you know, I said about my wife, the imprimatur, and my children and my grandchildren. But the other thing is I've got a conscience to clear. You know, I've sat there idly and let my kids be taught whatever they're taught, you know. And I don't want to even go down that track. What the absolute, well, it's worse than bullshit. It's evil.
Mm.
It's evil.
Yeah, like, well, imagine in a school if the principal's walking around with a yes badge on him prior to a referendum in a primary school.
Absolutely.
Why? Why is he doing that?
Yeah.
Leave the kids, let them be kids.
As far as I'm concerned, the ones that do that are traitors to the country.
Mm.
You know, that's not education. That's indoctrination, isn't it?
Mm, totally. Yeah, without a doubt.
Now, this, going back to my young life, and like that was just, like, I'm a boomer, like coming out of the Second World War. But Australia was very prosperous. Yeah. My option of jobs, I had about five jobs to go to. So I could have gone to other jobs that probably would have set me up a lot better and stuff like that, like trades. I had options. I went to a trade school. I had options. But I don't regret the path I've taken because of the people I've met and what I've seen and the fun that I've had. You know, when you work in those places like Newmarket and stuff like that, and you just meet the greatest characters that Australia's produced. I worked for this company and we used to handle a lot of sheep. We had 4,500 sheep one time, and the head drover, Donnie Robinson, he was waiting for the other drover to come in. His name, well, I better not mention his name, but he's the same namesake as mine, Donahue. And he came in there, and we had these sheep everywhere. And the guy he was depending on was the drover with all the dogs. And he said, "We're such and such, and oh, he's bloody late for work. He's got out in the grog or something." So a phone call was made to his home, and the wife got on the phone. He said, "Oh, he won't be coming in today." I said, "Oh, what's he, crook?" He said, "No." He said, "We had some visitors last night, and, well, he won't be coming in for quite a while." He said, "Oh, well, what is it?" And I said, "Oh, well, what they found is 40 televisions and 160 Del Monte suits in the attic in the ceiling."
Mm.
So the cops came in and took him away. He said, "But all the dogs are here. You better take them." He said to the, she said, his wife said to the head drover. Like, stories like that, like true stories.
Yeah.
Like, he'd been out doing a bit of night work, and they caught up to him, got all the Del Monte suits back. So, like, real characters.
Yeah. And where are they now?
Well, yeah, well, these, well, he might have had his whatever faults he might have had, but I tell you what, he wouldn't lay down for anything. If you upset him, he'd be into you. You know, they're pretty tough blokes.
Whereas nowadays, yeah, people get upset because they've been called a name.
Yeah, yeah. You know, stress leave and stuff like that. There was no stress leave there. But he did cause a lot of stress, I think, to a few shop owners around the district.
No doubt.
He liked suits.
Mm.
Yeah.
No doubt.
That's the way it is.
He was just making a living.
Just, yeah, a bit of supplementary stuff, you know, for a few beers after work.
Mm.
But, you know, like, but it takes you down some wonderful places, Anthony. Like, when I have started looking at this, you know, I said about the Governor General, and he's supposedly the representative of the monarch, along with the governors underneath him or her. But when you go back in a bit of history, and we're saying Captain Cook this, that, and everything else. But my once I realised when I was looking at the law, where's the greatest law? And that took me to scripture. Now, here's another thing that that I did find out. You know, we talk about Captain Cook and the history of Australia, and we hear Marcia Langdon and all them telling us that it's all wrong. But in 1606, on the 14th of May, the day of Pentecost in 1606, Pedro Fernandez de Cuellar proclaimed the Southland from his discovery point right to the poles in the name of Jesus Christ, and named it the Southland of the Holy Spirit.
Really?
But I'll send you that. But that was in 1606. He was a Portuguese mariner, sailor. You can imagine just going out into the sea, you know, like casting off into the sea. Where are we going?
They were pretty tough men back then.
Well, they would have to have something to cling on to. And what the story says that he put his faith in God. There's not much else to grip onto out there, is there? You can't climb a tree or anything. So, you know, where do we hear that stuff? This is our history, and all we're learning about is to be sensitive, not to be proud of these people that made these things happen, you know. And, you know, my history is that from the Irish background was sent out here to my forefathers and mothers was sent out here to populate the continent itself. So it wasn't as we were back then, not as immigrants that want to flee, was sent. Sent as a criminal past, you know. I don't know whether it's stealing bread or knocking off a sheep or whatever it was. But, you know, there's a lot of people that they don't want to bring up the real history, but they make these outlandish statements and they tell us to follow the science. Well, you know, if you follow the science, the medical stuff that they jab into you is good for you. Well, I doubt that too.
They want you to follow the science, but then you're not allowed to debate it.
Well, to
me, science should be ever-changing through debate.
100%. If there's a new discovery, you don't put it up. It's ridiculous, isn't it? But we can owe it to Pedro Fernandez de Cuellar in 1666. So it's about time we reclaimed this land and brought it back into prosperity in under the name of Almighty God. You know, like, that's where I'm coming from.
Well,
let's pick up the challenge and by reintroducing Almighty God into a godless age.
And you're not talking about God as in I need to go to church.
No. Well, exactly not that, because if you wanted to go to church, I think you had to have we're talking about God, the counselor, God, the healer, God, you know, the spirit of Almighty God. Well, you know, if you've got to have an injection and put a mask on to go to church, well, I don't think I'll be going there, because it says in Scripture, turn your face to me and I will heal you and I will heal your land. But that's everyone's personal decision whether they want to pick up scripture and read it and understand it. That's everyone's personal decision. But as far as I'm concerned, a lot of the decisions are made against that that aren't turned out real flash at all.
Yeah.
It'd be worth giving a go.
Yeah.
This could turn into a sanctuary for people if they put their faith in the right in the right direction.
Yeah, well, I was brought up Catholic, and right from an early age, it made no sense.
No.
And so I don't participate in that anymore, the dogma of it.
Well, correct.
But there's definitely, from that higher point of view that, you know, the universal subconscious, you know, potentially is God, which means that's all of us.
Yeah. When people say to me, oh, let the universe, you know, like it's a, you know, well, who created the universe? So then we get back into a stuff way over my head. But then we get back into evolution or creation. So if we follow the science, I don't think the evolution stuff is can actually stand up under real scrutiny.
Mm.
But if we go back to Genesis, that's where I'm coming from.
It's a pretty big subject.
Too big for me, mate. It's going to go on and on, but it's for everyone up to make up their mind, but at least open up your mind and give it a go, and you might be pleasantly surprised.
Mm.
Or we can just persist with what's on the telly, what Albanese says to us, you know. But like you said before, I have some great friends that have come out of Europe, like in communist countries, and exactly what you said, they come out of here to escape that stuff. But and they're some of the greatest defenders of what's going on now, or people that stand up, because they've lived it. They've escaped it. They didn't waste a boat trip to come out into the same thing, and that's what they're seeing is happening here.
Mm.
They can see see that everything coming under the state, state control, and they don't want it. They've seen it, lived it, lost people, whatever, you know, lost family. So it's
So what's
interesting times, eh? We live in interesting times, and I am inspired. I'm inspired by what just happened on the 14th of October, I'll stay inspired. I'm not going down the track of being defeated or hopelessness, depression, all that. That belongs on the wrong side of the line, as far as I'm concerned. I don't wish it on anyone, and I have got sympathy for the ones that go down that track, but I don't believe all these drugs and stuff that they give you, and even young kids, to get out of all this. That's, to me, that's not the way to go.
Mm.
Who knows what's in them?
Who knows?
Yeah, it's bullshit to call it a health system when there's nothing healthy about it, is there?
No, it's a sickness system.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, get the names right, and that'd be a good start.
Yeah. Yeah, well, if you look and see who's making money out of it, well, then that's a good point to start.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe call it a greed system.
Mm. What's your hopes for the future?
I'm optimistic that I think that we'll thank Albo in the future for giving us a jolt and saying, and him being so opaque that so many people can see through him. I don't know what it is, 62 or something percent, but that's only the ones that have voted. So I think he's just a complete failure, and I think he's exposing the system. The more he opens his mouth, the more he exposes the system. So I'm thinking more people will see that and understand that, and that's what gives me hope. I think he's done the right thing by many Australians by waking them up.
Mm. Yeah, well, he was magnificent in helping people decide to vote no.
Oh yeah, yeah. And then he blames the people that. And he blames the people, but there you go. We're going through a rough patch at the moment with leaders, aren't we? We've got that bloke over there in America, and we've got Albo, and I don't look much else, you know. I'd rather turn the TV off and go and dig a garden or something.
Do something that's good for you.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, just, and these useless meetings, sitting around talking about emotional stuff that I couldn't care less about. I could not care less about, you know. No, tell me the facts.
Mm.
Tell me was it a legitimate referendum? Don't tell me about that I'm a conspiracy theorist or because I don't care whether what sticks and stones stuff, you know. I don't care what you throw at me, but show me the facts where it's going to benefit the people
that call you
sisters.
A conspiracy theorist have done no study, and they might as well call you fat.
Anything, call me what they like.
Hmm.
Yeah. Like pissing on a duck.
But you know, in this time that we're in, you're not allowed to shame someone or call them overweight or whatever, but you're allowed, you are allowed to call them a conspiracy theorist because he's a nut.
That's right.
He's an absolute nut. He should be locked up.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep. No, they can call me whatever gender they want. They can call me fat. They can call me whatever colour they want to. Call me what you like. I couldn't care less.
Mm.
But I'd say to them, whoa, up a minute. Go and have a look at your writs and see if you've been a part of a fraud before you start calling me anything.
Mm. Yeah, good tip.
Don't you reckon?
I think that's a great idea. Do your own research before you start calling people's names.
Yeah.
I should let you go because I know you've got to go to the airport.
Yeah, well, it's been interesting having a chat to you.
Is there anything you want to say to your kids?
Oh, only that I love them. I don't, and my grandkids, of course I do. I don't tell them enough, but I hope they can see that. It's good to tell them, but I hope they can. I think actions speak louder than words, but I love them all very dearly.
Mm.
And everyone else too, you know, it says, you know, the greatest commandment of all is love one another as I have loved you.
Mm.
So that's what it's about, isn't it? It's not about division. It's not about hatred. It's about love.
Love story.
Love conquers all.
Mm. Brilliant.
So I love having a talk to you.
It's been great. We'll get down to Gippsland.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll get over there too. In fact, just on another, I've got a friend representing he's representing himself in the magistrates court in Adelaide. He's from Ceduna, a friend of my brother's who lives in Ceduna. Greg, hello, Greg. My brother. He's in the court. He's a man of Indigenous descent, and they've got him on fishing or breaking the fishing laws over there. They want to give the Aboriginal people a voice, but they want to take their rights off them at the same time. So it's going to be a very interesting case in the Adelaide courts, where they've already been asked to produce their authority, and there's some wonderful people over there in Mount Barker that have run foul of the local council. They've actually asked the local council to produce the writ that got the council laws elected. That was adjourned for 3 weeks while the council went away and got the writ that got them elected. Then they come back into the court 3 weeks later and said, well, we'll have to proceed without that because there isn't any writ. So there's a good start for every South Australian.
Mm.
Ask all your local councillors, can you please show me the writ that got you elected?
Mm.
Good start there, Anthony.
Great start.
And if they can't show me the writ, if they can't show you South Australians the writ, you better ask them, well, why are we paying you whatever we're paying you? And if we're paying you that, is it under false pretenses, meaning are you pocketing this money and making decisions on our permits and our rates under false pretenses?
Good question.
Well, it's there to be asked, and it's very difficult to answer if you haven't got a writ.
We'll look forward to hearing the outcome of that one.
Yeah. I'll keep you up to date, all right?
Hmm, brilliant.
All right, mate.
Okay, good chat.
Thanks very much.
No, my pleasure.
All right. God bless.
Have a good day. See you later.
Bye.